Welcome back to our study of Judges. We are in chapter 15. And before we pick up with verse 12, I'd just like to remind you what's happening here. The Philistines have come up, and they've come up and pitched in Lehi against Judah. And the men of Judah asked, you know, why have you come up against us? And they said, Samson. And so the men of Judah confronted Samson at the top of the rock in Edom. And Samson basically said, well, I'm just doing to them what they did to me. And so we pick up with that in verse 12. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind you, to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves.
This is it's an interesting setting here. You can become accustomed to being in bondage. And this is exactly what has happened to Judah at this time. The Philistines are ruling over them, and they're oppressing Judah. And Samson, he has, God has raised him up as a judge, in other words, to execute judgment on the enemy. And he has, he's been involved in executing judgment on the enemy, okay? And so the Philistines at this time are upset with him. And so they send an army up there to Judah to take Samson. And the army of Judah, why have you come against us? You know, we've been good little boys. We haven't bucked the rule, okay? And then they tell them, we come to get Samson. And they say, all right, what they negotiated. You understand? And so they sent how many thousand?
3,000 men of Judah.
Think about it. One man, Samson, and his own people send 3,000 to get him. Okay? And so when they come up there to get him, he says, basically, what's going on? And they said, well, don't you know that the Philistines rule over us?
Mm.
He said, I'll do to them what they did to me. And they said, well, we've come to bind you and turn you over to the Philistines. He said, all right, make me this promise that you won't kill me yourself. And I said, all right, we're not going to kill you. We're just going to bind you, and then we're going to turn you over to the Philistines. And so that's exactly what they did. They didn't look to him to give them any advice and, you know, that we can overcome these guys or anything of that nature. They're comfortable being oppressed. Isn't that amazing?
So as Pete was saying, they told Samson that they weren't going to kill him, but they would deliver him. And in verse 13, it said, and they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And in verse 14, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands.
Note, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Excuse me. And these new ropes were insignificant. It's like flax. And he immediately breaks these things off of his hands. And then it gets better.
Mm-hmm. And he found a new jawbone off an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith.
Actually, where it says new, though, it's fresh. He found the fresh jawbone of a donkey. and he picks that thing up. Now think about this. With the jawbone of a donkey, he kills 1,000 Philistine soldiers. Pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men.
And so he sort of gloats in it a little bit, I guess, you know, and just declares what he's done.
And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place Ramoth Lehi.
You know, I go back to what he said. You know, I have slain. And it's like so often we tell what we have done rather than give the credit where the credit's due. Because the Spirit of the Lord came on me, I was able to take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 people. You understand? And then once this is done, the humanity side is seen again. Now he's thirsty.
Yeah.
And he throws away the jawbone.
And
the name of the place was Ramoth Lehi.
Mm-hmm. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?
Now he's given the glory to the Lord. You gave me the deliverance,
mm-hmm.
but I'm about to die of thirst. And even after this great victory, and I don't want to fall into the hand of the Philistines is the essence of it, okay?
But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name, therefore, Enhakkareh, which is in Lehi unto this day.
So, I've heard this particular verse preached different ways. And I don't think the translation here is totally accurate, okay, when it talks about cleaving a hollow place in the jaw. I don't think jaw is the right translation. when we look at this, actually, it comes from a root that means soft, a soft place. And if you look at the root and you look, you have it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the word down under it, look at the spelling, there's the same word. Lehi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it appears to be the soft place, a soft place at Lehi, that God hollows out a place like a fountain or a spring of water. Some say it was in his jaw. No. I'm thinking the jawbone. But it appears that it's in the ground itself that God cleaves, rips, opens up a place. Actually, it's to open up a hollow place. And water comes out of the hollow place. And because of this, Samson's thirst is quenched. And then he calls the place. He's at Lehi. But then he gives this fountain
mm-hmm.
a name.
Enhakkareh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enhakkareh.
Enhakkareh.
All right. And if you look at that, it's like a calling, a fountain. So that name, and it says that place, that fountain, is there at Lehi unto this day. Okay. Not the jawbone. Not a jaw. but a place is there in Lehi unto this day, okay? Or at the time of the writing of this, right?
I appreciate that explanation, because I told Pete I would have gone all my days thinking that water came right out of that jawbone. But when you look, I think the word jaw, it's like 3895, and you look at that definition to be soft. But if you look at Lehi, they're the exact same words, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, 3896 for Lehi being, is that right? Being a proper name. Y'all can look and see. This is why it helps. You can't get hung up on word study. You have to look at context, but it does help us, and we can glean information by looking at word study for sure.
And if you just look at that, something doesn't seem right about the thing, because he throws the jawbone away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so something doesn't just seem to be right. So, you know, you get in and you start researching things and you start looking at things. And I told Heather, I said, the words are the same. Just one, they put uppercase L. The other's a lowercase L. Well, there was an upper and lowercase in the Hebrew. You understand, that's something done by the translator. Okay.
For those of you that are watching online, when we refer to the numbers 3895 or 3896, we're referring to the Strong's numbers.
Hebrew number.
The Hebrew number.
And you can find that in Blue Letter Bible. Mm-hmm. If you want to put H before that number, it'll pull that up and you can get the definition of it.
Very good. And in verse 20, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines, 20 years.
20 years that Samson is judging Israel, executing the judgment of God on the Philistines in that 20-year period, okay?
Chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron.
Okay. Now, obviously, he's an enemy of state, right? Gaza is one of the cities there in places in the Philistine territory. And so here, Samson had a woman problem. We've said that earlier, right? So he sees this harlot, this prostitute, and so he goes in to this prostitute, and then is told that he's there. And so when they found out that Samson was there in the city, they compassed the city all night. They close this place up, lock it up, and they think in the morning, you know, because we've made a way that he can't escape, that we're going to capture him and kill him. Well, Samson stays there, evidently with this prostitute, until midnight. And then he gets up and takes the doors, the post, everything, the gates, on his shoulders, carries them out and sets them up on the top of the hill. Yeah, that's why we talk about the supernatural strength of Samson. I'm telling you what, you take a solid core door and that's all you want, isn't it? But you can imagine taking the gates of the city and carrying those things up to the top of the hill. And he said it was the hill there before Hebron.
And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver.
So, this is woman number three.
Yeah.
Right? Delilah. Okay? But this one's different. He is than woman number two. Now, he had woman number one he fell in love with and wanted to marry her, right? Woman number two was just a prostitute he had an affair with, okay? But now, here he falls in love with woman number three, Delilah. And when the Philistines find out that he loves this woman, they go to her and they offer her a great sum of money to find out where his strength lies. Okay? So, does she love him? Or does she love money? Okay, you just follow the story or the narrative as it goes on. It's not a story, it's the truth, okay? So, she approaches him at different times to find out where his strength lies.
Verse 6, And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow which is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known.
Now here he's playing around. Now, I know this is of God, but it appears that he is a slow learner. Okay? Now I'll qualify that, all right? So she says, all right, where's your strength? Where's your great strength? That seems to be an unusual question anyway. But here, this woman's asking him, where's your strength? Well, this is what will happen. If you bind me with these never dried withs, 7, okay, then that'll take my strength away. So, she binds him. And then she says, Samson, the Philistines are on you. Well, he breaks them off, but now, you'd think he would think about that. I told her this, and she did this, and the Philistines are already here. What's going on? But some people say love's blind, right? Well, love's not blind. You can just be blind to love, okay? Okay.
And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her,
Go ahead.
I'll stop.
You're on a roll.
I'm on a roll.
Okay. Let's go back up here, okay? So the second time, now she comes to him, and she does the woman thing, okay? So you mocked me. You told me lies. Now tell me where your strength lies that you can be bound. Now, why do you want to bind me, woman? See, there's something going on here. The man's not thinking straight, do you understand? If you tied me up one time, the Philistines was there, what's going to happen the second time? So he says, you know, tie me up in new ropes. Never been occupied. And then I'll be weak like anybody else. So she does what he says. She puts these new ropes up on him, ties him up with these ropes, and has the Philistines lying in wait, and says, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And he breaks the ropes. Well, you think by now some reality starts setting in. This is two times. But here, God's using this, you know, for him to be destroying some Philistines in the process. Okay? Now, for anybody listening, you got a woman that's trying to entice you into this, that, and other, you better pay attention. You understand?
We call those red flags. There are red flags that we can choose to ignore in relationships, or we can choose to take heed of.
And those are bright red flags.
Flashing neon red flags. So, I was reading quickly, wasn't I? Verse 13, I'll go back to that. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web.
Okay, time number three, right? Only this time he's getting closer to where his strength lies. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Just weave my hair, you know, and that'll do me in. That'll take my strength away from me. And so she does what he says, and then he just breaks out of that like it's nothing. And now she's going to really put that feminine manipulation on him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get upset with me, women.
He can say that because women have earned the reputation for it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death.
Now, I want you to look at this setup here. You mocked me. You know? And then she just keeps putting pressure on him and pressure on him and pressure on him. I was thinking, I don't know if it was yesterday or this morning, I think it was yesterday, how there's two ways that you can control. Most people think of a control person as someone that is blatantly dominant, you know, aggressive type personality. But there's another way of control, and it's by manipulation. And that's exactly what she's using against him. Now, I want you to think about this. This is the strongest man we know of, right? Samson is known for his strength. Now, he's letting a woman that he could bounce around like a basketball control him, isn't he? How's she doing it? She's doing it by manipulation. And so you can see that through manipulation she has control of. That is a major problem in the churches today, is there is manipulation going on. And it's a major problem in the nation. Men are not standing on their own two feet, and I am not a chauvinist by no stretch of the imagination. I believe there are godly women, and godly women have their place, obviously, in the body of Christ. But Jezebel spirits have no place in the body of Christ. Jezebel spirit is a manipulating spirit. It will get behind the scenes in control. You understand, Jezebel didn't have authority. She used Ahab's authority to accomplish what she wanted. I've experienced this in the years I've been in ministry, is the Jezebel spirit controlling the leaders of the church to where they know better, but to keep peace at home, they cave in. Don't you cave in to manipulation. You stay submitted to the Spirit of God. You do the will of God. And by all means, don't you be a person that manipulates. You understand? The bottom line was Delilah was not interested in Samson. Delilah was interested in Delilah. She was using Samson to get what she wanted. Learn from that. Learn the principle. This is what I'm wanting to stress. Learn the principle of it. She's using someone to try to get what she wants. It goes on all the time. Don't fall for it.
You remember Samson's first wife, what motivated her? Was fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, Delilah, what's motivating her? Money. Getting what she wants. That's why it's so important that we allow the Spirit of God within us to give us insight into the heart of people that we're surrounding ourselves with. The Lord will give us checks along the way. So, Samson had some checks here, didn't he? He had some red flags that he could have stopped and thought about things.
You better know the person you unite with.
Right.
And I'm not only talking about a marriage relationship, I'm talking about any kind of relationship, a business relationship, a ministerial relationship. You better know the people that you're working with. Otherwise, you can get blindsided, so to speak, okay? And you'll find that you're being used. You with me? Love doesn't seek its own.
Right.
So that tells you that she did not love Samson. Anyone seeking their own benefit doesn't love you. They love themselves. They'll use you to get what they want, male or female.
We can do so much damage in a relationship if we start a conversation with, if you loved me, you would do X, Y, and Z. And you think about, we were just reading in Romans today, and I'm going to put a great big net over this. We should be treating people as Christ treats us. And I want you just to think for a minute, did Jesus ever manipulate anybody? He would just extend an invitation. He would always speak truth. And so when we are interacting with others in a relationship, be it a friendship, be it a marriage, be it a business partnership, colleague, whatever the case may be, we should operate with integrity and in truth, to where if we need something, if we want something, we ask. We don't have to put the, a clause before it, if you, then you.
If you means that the person saying that is self-centered. If you love me, you'd do this. If you loved me, you wouldn't be saying that to me. Don't you fall for that stuff from anybody.
And I just want to touch on some things that Pete said. He's absolutely right about the Jezebel spirit. And I'll say it again, I mentioned it earlier. Women have earned a reputation for manipulating. We'll do it with our words. We'll do it with our physical bodies. Whatever the case may be, the bottom line is it's absolutely wrong. And so we, women in this class, as members of the body of Christ, we know better. And because we know better, we can do better and be an example to others around us. Amen?
I'm going to make a bold statement here. If a woman is using her body to get something from her husband, she's no better than a prostitute. Nobody said amen.
It's true, sir.
So I will. It's a fact. Okay?
Because we know our body belongs to our husband, and our husband's body belongs to the wife.
Read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter.
So there's no room for manipulation. With all that said.
Okay, we got out there on that one. All right.
We got out there.
Roll us back in.
She vexed him to death with just her words. I'm going to stay out there for just a minute. You know, ladies, we also have a reputation that's been earned for nagging. Just nagging. Constant. I want this. When you going to mow that yard? When you going to fix that? When you going to do that? Just on and on and on and on and on. It's a reputation that we've earned. She vexed this man unto death. You know, I think about what the Proverbs tell us. What did Solomon say? I mean, he'd rather be off in the corner of a rooftop than have to deal with all the time.
He had experience.
You see, the nagging, there's no room for the nagging. The nagging is counterproductive. It works against us. So the best way to approach it is to ask. And leave it alone.
Mama yes. used to tell me that you get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. That's a proverb, I guess, okay? And so approach means everything. And if you have the right of approach, you can get a lot more accomplished than whether you're male or female, you understand? You do that with business associates or whatever. How you approach people, how you deal with people is extremely important. How you correct people is extremely important, you know? I mean, you just don't get in their face and say, you're stupid. Well, they've already got the wall up now. You understand? No, are you interested in helping the person? Then don't humiliate the person. Don't embarrass the person. If there's something that needs to be said, then do it privately. Don't make a spectacle of it.
Verse 17. And then he told her all his heart, and he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like another man.
So he caves in. They let the pressure get to him. It's interesting that he was physically strong, but inwardly he was weak. she was stronger than him in spirit. You follow me? And so he caves into it. Instead of running from it, he keeps himself subjected to it. You know, if you're on my case all the time, I'm going to get to where you can't be on my case. I'm not just going to hang around listening to you bash me all the time. You with me? But here again, I understand that this is orchestrated by God, and Samson made some very bad decisions. But it was through his bad decisions that the Philistines got the worst end of the deal. Okay? Our time's up here, so we'll stop and we'll come back into this after break. You ladies all right? All right.